Religious liberty is our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Lathan Watts of the organization First Liberty. First Liberty Institute, which was founded by Kelly Shackelford, is doing a lot of great work in the Dallas, Texas area. But, of course, their work that they do is for people all around the country. Lathan, thanks so much for joining us on this particular portion of Vocal Point. And I want to ask you, is religious liberty at risk in America?
Well, certainly. As you mentioned, Kelly Shackelford founded First Liberty Institute over 30 years ago. And unfortunately, we're seeing the attacks on religious liberty increase both in number and in intensity. However, the flip side of that is when we're engaging in these cases, we're winning. So there is a threat to it, but we're winning these cases and protecting religious liberty under the First Amendment and other federal law around the country.
Okay, do you mind if we talk a little bit about the vaccine mandates? Because I think that's
sure.
where some of the conflicts are really starting to rise. So first of all, give us a general picture, because I know in some cases you've won in the courts fighting the mandates on behalf of people with religious mm-hmm. objections. And on the other hand, there have been some courts that have ruled against those exceptions to the vaccine.
Right. So our most recent victory on the vaccine mandate issue, we represent 35 U.S. Navy SEALs who have religious convictions that prevent them from taking the vaccine. And so we sued the Navy and the Department of Defense in federal court and got a preliminary injunction against the Department of Defense that while that litigation proceeds, the DOD is prohibited from forcing them to get the vaccine or from taking any action against them for asking for the exemption. So that's an important first victory, and now we'll proceed with the litigation and hopefully win a final victory for them as well. There's also the OSHA mandate that was challenged at the Supreme Court, that really a decision could come out of the Supreme Court at any moment. It was appealed on an emergency basis, and they had oral argument. And that mandate was set to go into place today. So we are expecting a decision from the court really at any moment now, which would affect any business that employs 100 people or more. And we represent three religious ministries with more than 100 employees each that challenged that in court. The Sixth Circuit was selected in the lottery to hear that case. And then now we have the emergency case at the U.S. Supreme Court. So depending on how that opinion goes, then we'll have much more information about vaccine mandates going forward in the workplace.
Okay, and what is the objection to getting a vaccine?
It varies with each individual client, but our clients in the OSHA case are employers who don't want to force employees to violate their religious convictions when it comes to the vaccine. So the individual's religious convictions can vary, but across a wide spectrum of faith traditions, there's a developed theology of the body. Some people just simply do not want to put something into their body. There are many folks who, have never been vaccinated before prior to this COVID vaccine. And then there are some that had never really considered the issue before this vaccine, but now, after studying it, have decided that they don't feel like they can take it. And, they have a right to live according to their beliefs. Even in the workplace, religious belief must be accommodated unless it imposes a substantial burden on the employer. So the OSHA case really centers around whether or not the government, through OSHA, can mandate that employers mandate the vaccine. And that's the opinion that, as I said, we could get any time now today.
Okay, so let's deal with the issue, for example, of polio. When the polio vaccine came out in the in the 50s, this was a real godsend, and this helped bring this scourge to a quick end. But if there were some people who didn't want to be vaccinated or whatever against polio, they might have definitely been somebody that was a carrier to it. But the analogy to the polio vaccine versus the vaccine against COVID, the vaccines against COVID, I think that breaks down somehow between the two. How are they not the same?
Well, if you go back to polio, and there's been very little case law on this since, and so in a sense, with the challenges to this vaccine, we're kind of almost in new territory when it comes to the law. And as the government seems to have been responding to COVID and changing their response very often, sometimes daily, then the law has been trying to catch up. And so in a lot of ways, these issues are sort of new to the court. So there is some parallel, I guess, looking back to the polio vaccine. But I think the fact that this virus really has been treated differently than anything prior to it, and the law has been trying to keep up with that. So, which is why I think these cases are being fast-tracked so that we can get some sort of final opinion from a court to sort of educate everybody as to, you know, how to deal with it going forward and what people's rights are and how they can be respected. And so that's why, as I said, I think these cases have been moved fairly quickly.
Does the coronavirus and dealing with the coronavirus in any way suspend constitutional rights?
No, is the short answer. The Constitution is in place and is meant to be in place regardless. The rights that are protected there, the founders intended that really the only purpose of government is to protect the God-given rights of the people. And so they made it very clear in the Constitution things that government cannot do. So the Constitution cannot be suspended during a pandemic. We're confident that these cases that are making their way through the courts are going to reaffirm that principle as well.
Okay, so what do you obviously the idea of no jab, no job, that would be something you all would oppose, even if you personally were in favor of the vaccines, that you're clearly against the vaccine mandate.
Right, I think that's something that gets lost, I think, in a lot of the conversation about this, is that you can be in favor of a policy but be against mandating it, and you can be against a policy but be against banning it. And employment law, there's this well-settled principle that religious beliefs, as I said before, must be accommodated so long as they don't create an undue burden on the employer. And then there's other case law to define kind of what undue burden looks like, but that's really the principle that's at stake here.
Huh. Do you think in some ways some on the left that want more and more power have taken advantage, really, of response to the coronavirus and the fears that people have in a way basically taking away a lot of our liberty?
Well, I do my best not to try to get inside the head of people that are out there making policy and try to determine what their motives are. But I think it is easy to see that from day one, this issue, this virus has been politicized, and there have been some who have used the opportunity to exert more authority. And I think that's why many of the things have been challenged and been thrown out in court.
Now, we do know that in 2020, there were many instances where some of the different governors in different states were actually disallowing church services. I think that is now a thing of the past, mainly because the right to attend worship services, even despite COVID, has basically been upheld to the best of my knowledge. Although there was a case out of Nevada, I think, where the Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of a casino, but up in opposition to Calvary Chapel or something. And that was one I didn't understand. But it seems to me overall the courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court, have said it's okay to go to church, even in the era of coronavirus.
Yes, that's correct. And we filed the very first lawsuit in the country on that issue, challenging Governor Andy Beshear in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And the Attorney General of that state actually joined our lawsuit and sued the governor with us. and you know, we won, and we've not lost a case on that issue during the entire pandemic. There are some kind of one-offs, like you mentioned, but for the most part, you know, as I said before, the First Amendment isn't set aside just because there's a virus going around.
Huh. All right, very good. What else is First Liberty dealing with right now? What other kind of cases?
Well, our client, Coach Joe Kennedy, his case is back to the Supreme Court. We're waiting to hear if they're going to take it. This is the football coach that was fired for taking a knee in silent prayer on the football field after games. His is probably the biggest case that we have going right now, simply because it could be the vehicle that the Supreme Court uses to address a really bad decision on the free exercise clause called Employment Division versus Smith. So if the court takes his case, it could be used to do that. That's probably the biggest opportunity we have in front of us right now.
Okay. Other cases. Are there some cases related to schools at all?
Currently, yes, we have a case. It involves a campus ministry, so it's more defending a religious ministry, but their ministry to a school, which is a college campus in Virginia, where the municipal court, the campus ministry owns a house right near campus, and the ministers live there, and so it's a parsonage, so it's tax exempt. But the municipal court actually interpreted the religious doctrine of that church to say that those people don't meet the definition of minister, and therefore that's not a parsonage, so we can tax that property. And so that's another case we have waiting to hear if the Supreme Court is going to take it, because it is well settled that churches decide who their ministers are, not government. And that is a bedrock principle, you know, church autonomy of religious freedom. So we're hopeful the Supreme Court will take that case soon and rectify that situation as well.
Would it be fair to say, and we have about 2 minutes left, that a lot of the controversy in virtually every one of these cases gets back to, well, what did the founders intend in the First Amendment? Would you agree with that assessment? And what are your
yes,
thoughts?
Yes, absolutely.
On that? Okay. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's the only thing worse than not knowing what's in the Constitution is knowing things that aren't in the Constitution. And I say that to mean there's been a great misunderstanding about the Establishment Clause and what it was intended, which was we're simply not going to have an official church in the United States of America. And that's really about what it boils down to. And then the next clause, the Free Exercise Clause, is about living in all aspects of your life according to your beliefs. And that's what the founders intended. And we've gotten far afield of that over the last 200 years. But as we continue winning these cases and giving the Supreme Court the opportunity to return back to that original intent of the Constitution, there is hope. And you know, your listeners should take heart that we are winning these cases, and there's great opportunities coming.
How do you think founding fathers like George Washington or whatever would assess this kind of thing, this almost assault on religious freedom in America?
I think they would be astounded, honestly. I mean, the intent of the First Amendment is to protect the proper role of religion in a free civil society, because if you read the things that they wrote, both in the Federalist Papers and their correspondence amongst each other, they understood that a civil society cannot have freedom without morality, and that is the role of religion in a free and civil society. It is the formation of that baseline of morality to restrain the fallen human nature of man. Yeah. You just have freedom, but no moral obligation to each other. The strong will inevitably oppress the weak, and history teaches that, and our country has been the exception to that history because of our Constitution and that premise. So I think they would be shocked at how their words have been twisted over a couple of centuries.
Wow. Okay, Latham Watts, thanks so much for being with us. FirstLiberty.org for more information. Appreciate your time. Thank you, sir. God bless.
Thank you.